Welcome to the teaching podcast of Wellspring Church in New York City. We are a community that seeks to live in the way of Jesus and hope that you will be encouraged by today's teaching.
The ache for home lives in all of us. This is a quote by Maya Angelou. The ache for home lives in all of us. Do you feel that ache, the homesickness even, that we all live with? I have meditated on and chewed on this word, home, for many years. I've thought about it. It's a concept, it's an idea, and it's always felt a bit elusive to me. What is home? I know I want it, but what is it and where is it? I've mentioned before that my parents moved frequently. They were ordained ministers with the Salvation Army, and so we knew we could be moved at any point. So we moved lots of times throughout my childhood and youth. And, people ask, where are you from? I'm like, the East Coast, because it wasn't really easy to say, like, that's my hometown. That's even my home state. It was just kind of wherever we went. People used to say, actually, rather than home is where the heart is, we'd say home is where the army sends you. Because you just kind of, wherever they send me, this is my home for now. And there's a bit of instability because you never know at what point that's going to be taken away. But home is wherever the army sends you. Not a town, not even a building. For me, certain objects in our home became something to me like a little through line that I could say, that feels homey to me. My mom's willow pattern, blue and white china. They still have it. When I see it, I'm like, oh, childhood. Or our old Christmas tree that we had for like over 40 years. The same Christmas tree. Whenever we pull it out, I'm like, ah, home sweet home. My parents continued to move overseas even after I became an adult. I thought, now it doesn't matter, now I can put down roots, but they kept moving and so I still felt unstable. We put most of their possessions in a storage unit in Mahwah, New Jersey for about 10 years while they moved around the world. And when we unloaded it again 10 years later, it was like a little time capsule of our lives. We're like, what is home? Is my home a storage unit in Mahwah, New Jersey? It's kind of what it felt like. So I've always wanted to plant myself and put down roots and be like, I'm never leaving again. But of course, I haven't done that. I've continued to move around. But I shouldn't get too self-pitying, right? I had a wonderful home. And I've met and come to know very well some people who actually experience homelessness. It's quite different than what I experienced. Although I could feel at times like, what even is home? I don't have a home. Of course, I had a home. And there are people who actually don't have homes. When I was serving and living in Vancouver, Canada, it was always rainy, and I remember carrying an umbrella around and realizing that for some people, umbrellas and tarps were like their makeshift homes. And so I felt guilty having my own little personal pod wherever I went. I was like, I can't carry an umbrella. It feels too privileged. There are some people who don't have a roof over their heads. Of course, it's not about just a place, though, is it? Because there's plenty of people who have the opposite experience of me. You were born and raised in one hometown. Your parents never left their house, your childhood home. Anybody here have a childhood home that you can still go back to? Plenty of people go, that's my home. Unchanging stability. And yet, for some, it still may not feel like home. You could have a beautiful, consistent, stable home and yet not feel like that's a place where you belong. It's not just about a building. It's certainly not about opulence or luxury. The most beautiful and exquisitely designed buildings with like curated gardens and interior design could still not be home. The famous line, there's no place like home, from Wizard of Oz, is actually from an old musical by John Howard Payne. He writes, mid pleasures and palaces, though we may roam, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home. It's not about palaces, it's not about beauty, it's about hominess. Or like Malala Yousafzai more recently said, if you go anywhere, even paradise, you will miss your home. It's not about the building, it's not about the luxury, and it's not just about the stability either. It's about those who dwell within. Like Luther Vandross says, a house is not a home when there's no one there to hold you tight. Don't make me sing. This whole week I was listening to that song, like, a chair is just a chair. Okay. It's not just about the building. A house is just a house unless there's someone in there who loves you. That's what makes it a home. It's those who dwell in the house. Family is what makes a place feel like a home. Well, David has come to the end of his psalm. If you've been tracking with us at all, we have been reading and praying and living in Psalm 23 since Easter. It's been a slow go of it. And David has come later in his life, we learned he wrote this psalm, and he's been able to look back and recall the attentiveness of God through every season, highs and lows. God's always been there. And he's able to say with confidence, I know God's always going to be with me every day of my life. But still, at the end of all this, he just wants to go home. We're going to look at this psalm again. And I'm going to invite you to read it with me. We're going to read one little line at a time, and then I'm just going to pause to reflect a little bit on what we learned throughout this series. So if you'll just read with me the very first line of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I started off right here, reminding us it's actually all about the relationship between Yahweh and me. He is my shepherd. He's my pastor. I don't only come under his care, but I come under his leadership and his authority. And the next week, we read this. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Pastor Demetra spoke about the safety that we experience in the presence of the shepherd. In his pastures, we can actually enter into deep rest. And then the next line. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. I preached about drinking deeply of the presence of God and even having our souls turned back right again when we fall down. Because now the sheep has started to go outside of just the pasture, actually being led somewhere beyond. And it goes a little farther, the next line. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. So now we've left the pastures, we're going down some paths, and the Lord is leading. And Pastor Patrick preached about God giving us direction and showing us what choices we should make. Now we've kind of wandered a bit farther, but it gets a bit scarier in the next line. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now it's beyond just like walking through a path. Now it's a dangerous place, a scary place, a valley of the shadow of death. And Pastor Ray Longwood preached for us about this guarantee that trials and hardships will come, but a guarantee that his presence is still there. We're now far from the safety of the pasture, where things start to feel dark, and yet God is still with us. And the next line, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I preached about how God's Spirit and truth, the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures, both come to bring us the comfort of sanctification. Through trials, we become more like him. And the next line, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Pastor Demetra preached about this. This is beyond just darkness and fear, but real, actual evil lurking in the midst of our lives. It's not just trials, but there is actually the presence of the enemy, and yet God is still there providing and protecting his sheep. The next line, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And this goes beyond just, I'm going to get through life, I'm going to get through my battles, but now David says, I'm anointed for a purpose. I've been set apart as holy and given a work to do. I've been commissioned to carry on the work of Christ. So now we've moved out of the pastures, through the paths and down to the valleys and through the presence of the enemy. It's all been hard, and now we're actually able to overflow a life for others. And it continues on. Surely, your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Our friend Luis preached about this last week, that this psalm was written in David's old age. God has always been there, and I am confident that God always will be there, not just trailing after me, but pursuing after me all the days of my life. God is going to be there. And our last line, where we land today, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I just want to go home. God's been with me through through all these twists and turns, through these valleys and mountaintops, all the dangers that lie. He's going to keep being with me, but ultimately I just want to go home. I love that forever is his own line. Forever. I don't want to just go to my home, not just any old home. I want to go to the house, the home of Yahweh. And I don't just want to visit God in his house, come over for lunch or brunch. What do we want to do in God's house? Dwell. And I will dwell. This word dwell, it literally means to sit down. But because of that, it's got some implications. It means to dwell, to remain, to settle, or even to marry. I will dwell. I'm going to put down roots, we might say in English. I'm going to put my anchor down. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The invitation of God is not just to visit him, but to move in. I want you to live with me. Adoption is the theme of our story. We who were once strangers are now brought near and made family with God. We are adopted fully as sons and daughters. This is why Romans 8 says, the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba. It's an intimate word, Father. The spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We are really God's children. I have some friends who were adopted, and they've taught me some things about the language around adoption, that once in a while someone says something that's not quite right, like, oh, you're adoptive parents, but who are your real parents? Like, these are my real parents. When you are adopted into a family, you become part of the family. It's real. You're not like some half-wanted, kind of hang-on, like Cinderella child, like you can live here, but you're not really one of us. No, adoption is real. You take on your parents' name. You become an heir. You get their inheritance. You are a fully wanted, embraced child of the home. This is the theme of our story. God saying, I am your father. Come in and live in my home. And stay. Dwell. It's interesting, this language, we even kind of sang about it this morning, like about the house of God, that it kind of gets metaphors mixed, because we're like, I want to be a house for you, but I want to come to your house. It's like, what? But it's the same language Jesus uses when he says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's like, I can't even quite picture it physically. Like, how can I be in God and God can be in me? I can be living in him and he can be living in me. It's one, isn't it? To be both inside of one another. We are invited to dwell. And that word remain can also be translated abide. Come and move in. Come and live forever. There's a permanence here. Come and live in the house of God. The hospitality of God is profound. He doesn't just say, like, come on in and enjoy a quick visit, but I want you to move in and I want you to stay forever. You are my child. What is home? It's a place of rest. When you're home, you can just be. You can just relax. You can take off your shoes, take off your mask. You can just rest. And it's stable and secure. You know it's not going to be pulled out under your feet. I can rest here because I know that I will always have this place. It's a place of intimacy. You are known in all vulnerability. That's the great thing about marriage. Am I right? You know each other. In God's house, you are known. You can be authentic and deeply connected at home. And at the deepest level, a home is a place of belonging. You are wanted, accepted. You even have a role. It's like, this is your home. You're not just visiting my home, but my home is now your home. You should be here. You are wanted. I was thinking about the instant classic, Elf. Seasonally appropriate. Christmas movie where, you know, Will Ferrell. I forget the character's name. Elf. Buddy. Buddy the Elf. Finds his long-lost father and goes and wants to stay with him. But of course, he's like super goofy because he thinks he's an elf and he's going to go stay with his dad. And they say, oh, this is our son, so I guess we got to take him in. And he's sitting there at the dinner table, and his sort of stepmom asks, how long do you think you'll be with us? And he says, I hadn't really planned it out, but I was thinking, like, forever? And of course, this is like the anti-illustration, because they don't really want him to stay there forever. They're like, a grown man who thinks he's an elf staying in our house forever, that's a lot to ask, but I guess we should, because he's technically your biological son. What are we going to do about this? This is the opposite story of the gospel. But some of us feel as though we're like that. We're like kind of these awkward kids, and we're like, can I come into your house? I know you don't really want me. I don't really fit in here, but if you're willing to take me in. Some of us feel that way in the presence of God. But no, God says, you can call me Abba Father. I've made a place for you. Come and remain. Come and live with me forever. I want you in my house. It's real adoption and a real father. And you are his real sons and daughters. I want to dwell. I will dwell. Stay. Pull up a chair. Take off your shoes and stay for a while. Unpack your suitcase. Get comfortable in the house of the Lord. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. David, who wrote this, was obsessed with the house of God. It's clearly a passion of his. He writes a lot of psalms about the house of God, and he spent his life preparing to build a house for God, to build a temple. His son ended up doing it, but he made the way. He's like, we are going to build a permanent home, a living home for God. And this is his prayer, which, think about this for a second. If someone said to you, if you could have one prayer answered, what would it be? What's like top of your list? Like, this is my number one prayer. If I could get one thing, this is what it would be. This is David's answer to that question. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. He's like, that's the only thing I want. There's so many other things I could ask for, but if I could just ask one thing, I want to dwell in the house of God forever. I want to see his beauty. I want to gaze upon his face. And other psalmists, too, write similar things. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. And this beautiful, poetic verse 10, we already heard this morning once. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. It's that good. Like, I could just be on the very edge, like only partway in your house doing a job, if that means I could be there. The grass is not greener on the other side. I don't want to live somewhere else. I would serve in the house of God. It's all I want. What are we even talking about here? David was obsessed with the tabernacle and the temple. He was a man of worship. He loved to make music. But we're not going to go visit a temple now. This building is just a warehouse. What is the house of God? It's not just a place of worship. And there are other places in Scripture where it talks about the house of God or the home of God that are not at all connected with a physical place or house of worship. This is a fascinating story in Genesis. We're going way back now. Super Old Testament, the book that's called The Beginning, Genesis. And Jacob is in the wilderness wandering, and he lays down to sleep, and he pulls a rock up for a pillow. And this is what happens. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. And then he speaks a whole message to Jacob. And when that's done, Jacob awoke from his sleep. And he thought, surely the Lord is in this place. And I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. So he renames that place Bethel, which means the house of God. This random rock right here in the wilderness, this apparently is a portal to heaven. He's like, I had no idea that God was here, but surely the Lord is in this place. So apparently the home of God can randomly appear, like heaven can just open up and all of a sudden be accessed in the wilderness. this is the house of God? Where is the house of God? It's so interesting to think that you could encounter the presence of heaven. You could experience the house of the Lord anywhere in the world. Little like fun note, this morning we sang Shekinah glory come down. Do you know what that word means? I read a little bit about it. It means like the tangible presence of God. But the reason that word was invented was because there was like unauthorized glory appearing in random places. Because people thought the glory of God should live in the temple. But all of a sudden, the glory of God would come to like someone's house somewhere. And they're like, what do we call this? Shekinah glory. God can just pop up. And all of a sudden, you're like, this is Bethel. This is the house of God. There's a temple right here. Let's make a monument. Like, I love thinking about Paul in 2 Corinthians 12. He says that he was praying one time 14 years ago. And all of a sudden, he was caught up into the third heavens. I don't know what that means. This is like level 401 kind of stuff. But he says, I was praying home and all of a sudden I was in paradise. He actually says, I was caught up in paradise, which is the same word that Jesus says to the thief on the cross when he was dying, today you'll be with me in paradise. And when I think paradise, I think heaven. I think like a tropical island somewhere, but it literally means garden. Which you gotta think back to the Garden of Eden. So are we like time traveling here? Like when you die, we're gonna meet up in the garden later today. Or when you're praying, all of a sudden you're in your room and all of a sudden you're caught up and you're back in the Garden of Eden in the heavenly realms. Is this like too bizarre for you guys? This is like, I just see this in the scripture. All of a sudden, these doorways open up. He's not just talking about moving into a tabernacle, not saying, can I rent a room in Wellspring Church and just live there forever? No, he's talking about a spiritual thing, a place of encounter with the divine. Heaven, as we think of it, yes, but something we can access here and now. Surely the Lord's in this place. You ever experienced the presence of God in a very random place? Where you're like, I was just going about my day, or I just like started praying, and all of a sudden it was like, heaven's opened up, and all of a sudden it's like this portal. The gateway of heaven is open, and now this is the house of God, the holy ground. I think we felt a little bit of that this morning. You're just like worshiping, and all of a sudden you're like, God is here. This is sacred. This is not just any old warehouse. We're in heaven. We just catch glimpses of it. And I love beauty. I love art. I love like sneaking into old cathedrals to see the stained glass and kind of sit there with the high ceilings and the incense, and I'm like, ah, the temple of God. But I have encountered the temple, the house of God, the presence of God in ugly places. Here's a picture of one. This is an alleyway in Vancouver, Canada. It's so ugly. It's so uninspiring. You know, in New York City, we just put our trash out on the street because we're like super hospitable and chic, just like on the sidewalk. In other cities, they have alleyways where you put your trash so the streets still look clean. Isn't that a nice idea? Anyway. But that means the alleyways are very undesirable places because it's where all the trash is. Like, no one walks down alleys for fun. You walk on the clean streets. The alleys is where all the trash goes, all the refuse goes, like the back doors everywhere. But I was ministering and serving in this city for a number of years. I've mentioned it so many times because it was so formative to me. But I used to pray and walk up and down these alleys because it was in the alleys that we would find people, you know, crumpled up behind dumpsters shooting heroin. We'd find people who were sleeping out there, like in a puddle. And so we'd go out and pray for people and talk with them and try to get them into rehab. This was like, our work was very front lines. There's very high HIV and AIDS and addiction in this community. And so we would walk down these alleys and I would pray. I would purposely walk down alleys instead of streets in order to meet people who were there. And I gotta say, so many times I'd be walking up an alley just like this one praying and it was like, I'm in heaven. A portal opens up. A gate opens up, and all of a sudden, I'm like, this is the house of the Lord. I would, like, if it wasn't so wet, I would take off my shoes. It's holy ground. Holiness. It's the presence of God. It can come anywhere. Or this next picture, this is midweek prayer meeting, like, 3 years ago. Like, not that many people were there. This picture includes Joseph and Alyssa Pudetti, who were our children and youth workers for a number of years, and Brett Pontecorvo, and Patrick, and Seth, and me. We got a few masks on, because it was, like, just post-Omicron. We were like, are we safe? Who knows? This is not glamorous. This is Renew Queens, our community center, where we have prayer meeting every week. Wednesdays at noon would love you to come. It is like an open heaven experience so many times. And this picture especially, because I think Genevieve took this. She's one of our pastors. During a season where we actually kind of shut down midweek, and we said we're going to cancel it for a month, and we're just going to come together and reframe what it looks like to host the presence of God, rather than coming with an agenda of like, here's the 5 things we're going to pray for today. What if we just came and said, Holy Spirit, will you lead us? We want to welcome you. And so just the staff met for a month, and I encountered the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God, in that very prayer meeting. Profound experience with the divine. The house of God can pop up anywhere. And he says, I want to dwell there. I want to dwell there. It's like, it reminds me of when Jesus was on the mountaintop and he transfigures before his disciples. He suddenly shows his glory to them and they're like, can we build tents and live here forever? Because when you encounter the glory of the divine presence of God, you're like, let's just move in here. That's why once in a while we're like, let's not stop worshiping. I want to live here forever. That's the last word, forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is where we're going. This is the end of our story. Forever in the presence of God. Forever. Home is heaven for beginners, says Charles Henry Parkhurst. There's so many good quotes about home. I think because it lives so deep within us, this longing. Home is heaven for beginners. It's like a little glimpse on earth. Once in a while, we experience this kind of intimacy, this rest, this belonging, and we're like, this is heaven on earth. But it's not heaven, right? This is heaven. This is our forever, Revelation 21. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. Do you see? This is heaven is now on the earth. God has established his dwelling place is now with the people. Hallelujah. And he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. This is our forever that we are waiting for and longing for. We often talk about heaven on earth, like Jesus prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. And we are believing and asking and advancing that kingdom on the earth, but it's not here yet in fullness. This is what it's going to be like one day when God says, this is now my dwelling place. This is my home. And we got these bodies that are dying. Anybody else here dying? Slowly, hopefully. It's temporary. 2 Corinthians 5, for we know that if the earthly tent we live in, that's our bodies, is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. And then down to verse 6, therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. That's the longing. That's the ache. I would rather be in heaven right now. That's my home. That is my home. And I just want to ask, is there anybody here who's finding life hard today? You don't have to raise your hand, but I imagine there's probably some people here who are like, just getting up and functioning right now is really hard. I'm in a hard time in life. Life is hard. Anybody here experiencing that? Just like, ugh, just like grind. Be reminded today, be encouraged today that this is not your home. This is not how it's always going to be. This is not your forever experience. One day, we will be home with the Lord. No more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, but face to face, back in the Garden of Eden again, where we belong. It starts now, but it goes into eternity, even past death. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So in conclusion, heaven is our home, and heaven starts now. So where is our home? Where is God's home that I want to be home in? It is a place There will be a day where there's a physical reunion after the resurrection where we come home and we are embraced. It's also right now, this place of prayer. This is where we experience the open heaven where divine and human can actually touch, and we experience a sense of belonging, a sense of intimacy, a sense of rest is in the place of prayer. But it's only possible through the person of Jesus. He actually said, "I am the gate for the sheep." Back to sheep again. You want to come in? You want to come in? You got to go through Jesus. He is the open gate that says, "Come on in. Welcome, welcome, welcome." We think about home. I remember asking in a small group one time, the question was like, "What is home for you?" And I'm like, "My mom's willow pattern china." I don't really know. Church, maybe? And a mentor of mine saying, "Home is in my husband Steve's arms." And I was like, "That is so cute." I was single and I was like, "Oh, I want to love like that someday." Because home is not about a physical place. It's not about physical objects. It's about a person. It's about a person. I mean, do you want to go to heaven and have giant mansions and streets of gold and know God? That would get boring at some point. You'd be like, "Ooh, it's glittery." We're not going to be satisfied by mansions. Nobody on earth is satisfied by mansions. Is that what heaven is going to be? Just like a bunch of rich people? Like, "Well, at least now I have gold." No, home is about Jesus. It's a person. It's being wrapped in his arms. It's about the family. It's about the Father. This is where we find our home, in the person of Jesus, who is the gate. So do you feel this ache for heaven like Maya Angelou writes about? Have you tapped into that longing? One of my favorite spiritual disciplines that I learned about is the discipline of longing, where you actually allow yourself to long, to desire. Because most of our life, we feel desires rise up, and we're like, suppress, suppress, suppress. Ignore, distract, numb, just power through. But to let yourself feel, "I want, I long for something." Let that ache come to the surface as you realize, "I'm homesick." Do you feel like David? That he's been your faithful shepherd. You've seen him through trials, tribulations, attack, good times and bad, and you just want more of him. You're like, "He's been so good to me, and I just want to live in his house forever. That's what I'm going to do." Well, let me just remind you today, if you feel like Buddy the Elf, like a misfit, you feel like awkward, unwanted, even rejected by God or by the family of God, if you feel alone, be reminded today that you are welcomed to come through the gate and to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You are wanted, brothers and sisters. Amen? We're going to respond in prayer. Whoa, prayer. That's the portal, guys. We're going to respond by encountering God in the place of prayer. I'm believing that this is going to be like a moment where the ceiling just opens up and the sky just opens up, and all of a sudden it's like, this is the house of God. God was here and I didn't even know it. Would you stand if you're willing and able? And we're going to worship, which just that might be for you. A place of encounter with God. But we also would love to pray with you and for you. We love to come together at this time where the gifts start to flow and we minister to one another, where God flows between people. So we've got some people on the prayer team who are going to be on my right and on my left. And I want to invite you to come forward for prayer for anything, because first of all, when there's an open heaven, anything is possible. Amen. So if you're sick, if you're going through something, if you're struggling, if you need a touch of God, we would love to just lay hands and pray that reality on the earth. But more specifically, is there anybody here who life is hard right now and you need that infusion of hope, that reminder that this earthly life is not the end, that there is something coming? If you need that reminder today as you're just going through it, Like, I need encouragement. I need strength to get through today. I need a perspective shift to remember where my home is. I'd love to pray for you. And if you've ever felt rejected, not wanted, like you don't belong in the presence of God, we want to pray for you too. That spirit of adoption would come wrap his arms around you and make you know how he sees you. Let me pray, and then we'll respond. Lord, the one thing that I ask is that I would dwell in your house all the days of my life. I want to gaze upon your beauty, Lord, and seek you in your temple. Would you come, Holy Spirit, and make yourself known? I pray for Shekinah glory, even in this place, the tangible presence of God. It's not something that we conjure up. It's not something that we manipulate or force. We just ask, God, that you would come, make yourself known to us who are just trying to get through these days. I pray for a deep, deep embrace of your children. Would you meet us here in this place of prayer and worship? Would you welcome us home in your name? Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. You can find out more about our church community at wellspringchurchnyc.com.